back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 28, and we have been reading about the blessings and the curse. Remember, the blessings were to be spoken on top of Mount Gerizim, and the curse on Mount Ebal. But if you go back in chapter 27, you'll remember that it was actually the Israelites that had to speak the blessings over the land, and the Israelites who had to speak the curse. If you look at verse 12, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin." And then as far as the curse is concerned on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And so when you think about the Israelites were just to speak in a loud voice to make sure everybody understood. Look at verse 14 and 15. "And the Levites shall speak and say unto all men of Israel with a loud voice." So the Levites were speaking. "Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
So be it.
So be it. Let this word be established." And other curses were pronounced at that point. The word was going out.
It's not that God says, "All right, I'm going to curse that person." No. The blessing is spoken over the land. It's out there. The curse is spoken over the land. It's out there. Okay? And so you choose whether you walk under the blessing, whether you walk under the curse. It's not that God says, "All right, they didn't, I'm going to do this." It's not that way at all. It's they're both out there. You choose what you walk under. Now, I know that the law of Moses was given exclusively to the nation of Israel. And so the blessing and the cursing that we're talking about was to the nation of Israel, right? But there's a principle in it, okay? A person could proselyte over and follow God from any nationality under the Old Covenant. That's why they had foreigners in the land. If you look at the people that came out of Egypt, it was a mixed multitude. They chose to follow God. They chose to leave Egypt and come under the leadership of Moses. They chose to come under the constitution of this new nation. Okay? So anybody could do that. But what about these other nations? They're serving heathen gods. They're serving false gods. They're already under the curse. They already subjected themselves to demon spirits. And when you're worshiping false God, you're subjected to demon spirits, okay? Now, the law governed the outward man. Right? Still does today, doesn't it? Did you know of a law that says it's against the law to think such and such? There has to be an action before it's against the law, right? And so the action will take place with the body, not with your thinking, right? Mm-hmm. But it starts in your thinking. Mm-hmm. That's why they can say premeditated murder. But they can't charge you with it until you commit it. And then it has to be proven that you were thinking about it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so the law governed the external man. Now, under the old covenant, it was the external man. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. It was an old covenant that was written in stone, okay? Under the new covenant, it's a spiritual covenant. As a matter of fact, people says it's a new race of people. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you're in Christ, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, obviously, your body didn't pass away. What did pass away was that old carnal nature, and so it's a new person living on the inside. Now, the covenant that God cut with Jesus was a spiritual covenant. I want you to get this. And so, grace is dealing with the spirit man. Because you can say, well, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's exactly right. You walk in the Spirit, you're not even under the law. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not follow the flesh, but follow the Spirit. The condemnation comes when you walk in the flesh. And so, it's not that because we have been redeemed that there is no consequence to anything. As a matter of fact, if you read the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul is rebuking the Corinthians because of the way they're celebrating the Lord's Supper. They're doing it in an unworthy manner. Okay? And they're not thinking about God. They're thinking about themselves. Now, these are Christians who are walking in the flesh. And Paul said, because of this, many of you are sick, and many of you have died because you didn't properly discern the Lord's body. You see that? And so what we're trying to show you through the principles of Deuteronomy, it's not to bring you under a law. It's not to say that God's going to curse you. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. As a matter of fact, Colossians says the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's talking about the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, and when the law was fulfilled, it was nailed to the cross. It is finished. You follow me? Now, he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But you have to accept that in the spirit man, and then the spirit man is responsible for controlling the outward man. That's why he tells you in Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, that you, who's that? The spirit man. You present your bodies. So the spirit man is the occupant of the house. The body's the house. So occupant, present the house to God. Spirit man, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. I don't want it killed. I want it alive. You see that? And so we have to see ourselves as spiritual people in order to comprehend what these principles are. And so the law is not governing the spirit man. Thank God for grace. The spirit man is under grace. And as long as you're being led by the Spirit, you're in grace. There is no law against grace. You with me? But if you step out from under grace and you start walking in the flesh, you start walking carnally, then you're subjected to the things that are out here where the devil is playing his games, you understand. The devil attacks the flesh. You understand? The devil can influence a Christian. He can't possess his spirit, but he can come against the physical man. And if the spiritual man is not mature enough and developed enough to resist the devil coming against him, then the devil can wreak havoc with a person's life. And so it's so important that we recognize we're spiritual beings. So when we say the curse, we're talking about a principle here. Our blessing, everything is in Jesus. Everything is in Jesus. God didn't cut a covenant with you. God cut a covenant with Jesus. But if you are one with Jesus, then you are an inheritor of those promises. In other words, it's called joint heirs. Jesus received the inheritance, but because we're one with Him, we benefit from the inheritance by being in the family. Does that make sense to you? And so as long as we're in Jesus, we're under grace. But when we turn and walk out from under Him, and when we disobey Him, then it's not that God is punishing us. That was already out there. It's we walked out from under our protection. You understand? If you don't want to get wet from the rain, stay under the shelter. But what happens if you walk out from under the shelter? You get soaked. Well, it's not that God's almost soaked them. No, it was there all along. You had the opportunity to protect yourself from it. So we protect ourselves by walking in the Spirit. They didn't have that, but what they did have was a law that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. So if they didn't do that, then the body suffered the consequences. You with me? But God has given us a provision in the new covenant under grace to where we, the spirit man, can rule the house instead of letting the house rule us, which so many Christians do. Okay? So I want you to understand this as we go through here talking about the cursing. This is what we're saying. If you do it God's way, you're going to stay in grace. You're going to stay in the Spirit. You're going to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you have to do it God's way. And if you're not doing it God's way, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is going to always lead you to do things God's way. And so if you're not led by the Spirit, you're walking out from under your protection and you're going to get wet. Can you relate to that? Okay. You want to say anything to that? Okay.
That was excellent. Thank you. That was excellent. Verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
In other words, the enemy will be stronger than you if you don't walk in the blessing of God. But when we walk in the blessing of God, the enemy's no match for us. Right? But people have the idea, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so I'm in the safe haven. As long as you're walking in the Spirit. But when you're not walking in the Spirit, you're out here identifying with the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is not against the children of obedience. It's against the children of disobedience. So if you don't want to incur judgment, then walk in blessing. Pretty simple, isn't it?
And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away.
I'm telling you, when you start following this and paying attention to what he's saying, you think, man, those Israelites better take notice, right? We're not even going to get a decent burial. The birds are going to eat us after we die. I mean, he's laying it out there. In other words, you're going to lose all your honor.
Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou cannot be healed.
So we're talking about inflammation, tumors, scurf, itch. That's what Egyptians experienced. And he said, you won't be able to find a remedy for your healing. You look at people today running to doctors every day, looking for some remedy for some ailment, right? And so often, they're practicing medicine, is that what they call it? And so they don't have the answer. And so there's people that live all their life suffering. But what would happen if we turn to the Lord and walk in the Spirit and get our direction from the Lord and be obedient to the Lord? I think we could change some things just through obedience. Okay?
The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart.
Actually, that word where the King James has madness, is, if you look at it, it's insanity. Craziness, I believe, is the word they use, but it's an insanity and blindness and fearful heart. And I think of what's going on in this mm-hmm. nation today. Man, we've got a lot of crazy people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy people. You understand? Insane. Look at how many people are on medication to try to keep them stable. You know, when I was growing up, I never heard bipolar. Mm. Never even heard of that word. I never heard of ADD. They'd wear you out, and then they'd straighten you out. You understand? Yeah. They get you back under your protection, okay? I came from the old school.
Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee.
Man, this just keeps getting progressively worse and worse and worse, doesn't it? I mean, you can be like a blind man. You don't know where to go. You can't even find your way. And you look at how many people today are so confused. They don't know what they want to do. I have a hard time relating to the generations today. I knew what I wanted to do when I was about 12 years old. I had in my mind what I wanted to do. And people today, 25 years old, don't know what they want to do. They're still trying to find themselves. You know? You don't want to get me on that, okay?
Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein, and thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
I told you it gets worse, right? I mean, God spells it out. You know, people are shy. God will just tell you how it is. You be engaged to a woman, somebody else is going to be the one lying with her, not you. You're going to plant crops, somebody else is going to eat them. You're going to have a vineyard out here. You're not going to enjoy the juice from the vineyard. In other words, you can do everything you want to do, but it's not going to be profitable to you.
Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them.
So somebody else is going to eat your groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, that's what it says. You have the ox. You're not going to get the steak. They are. And as far as your donkey, your beast of burden, it's going to be taken from you, and it won't be returned to you. Your flocks will be given to your enemies, and there's nobody to rescue them. There's no hope, in other words. When you're walking in this curse because you don't obey God, there's no hope. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. You understand that? That's not a cliche. It's an absolute fact because everything is in Jesus. God has put everything, all the blessing, everything is in Jesus. We were talking Sunday how God in the Old Testament spoke by the Word, but how in the New Testament He speaks and does everything through the Word that was made flesh, which is Jesus. He turned all judgment over to the hands of Jesus. And yet Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. Listen to me. Because if you don't reach out to me and accept me and receive salvation, you're lost. There's no gray area. We either are or we aren't. You understand? And here again, Jesus is the blessing. If you walk in Jesus, you're blessed. If you don't, you're in trouble. You can relate that to the curse.
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand.
In other words, they're going into captivity. Your sons and your daughters are going into captivity. You long for them. You want to see them, but you don't have a chance to see them because they're somebody else's slave.
The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always.
So other nations are going to eat your crops. You're not going to enjoy it. Isn't that what the Israelites did? God said, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to let you eat crops that you didn't plant. Well, he's telling them, if you don't obey me, then somebody else is going to live in your houses and eat your crops.
Thou shalt, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thy eyes, which thou shalt see.
And he said they'd be driven insane because of what they saw. I mean, you've heard those saying, it's driving me crazy or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a literal thing. They lose control of their mind because of the things that they see come upon them. You lose everything. Everything. Everything you've ever worked for and your children. You lose it all. That'll have an effect, don't you?
Yeah. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head.
So this is talking about an inflammation in the knees, actually if you, in the legs. If you look this up, it gives the example of ulcers in the legs. That's, you remember when the magicians there in Egypt stood before Moses, and then when God put the plague, the King James Version calls it boils, but actually it says ulcers, okay? But it's talking about this inflammation here. It's the same thing. That this right here will get you to where you're covered from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Those magicians couldn't even stand to counter Moses. Remember that? It was so severe. And that's what he's telling these Israelites. This is what will happen to you if you don't walk in the blessing. You have to obey me.
The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone.
So the essence of it is your ruler, your king, who's led you astray, is going to be captured by another nation, and they're going to take him and you to another nation to where you're going to serve them.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee.
Now think about that. A byword is a taunt, mm-hmm. a proverb. It's an insult here. You can be the, I would say it this way, you can be the laughing stock mm-hmm. among all the nations where God is impelling you to go. You're going to be the laughing stock there.
Thou shalt carry much seed out unto the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it.
In other words, you'll sow a lot, but you get little, and the locust will consume your crops. You know, if you look at the book of Haggai, and God is saying through the prophet Haggai to the nation of Israel, consider your ways. You built your houses, you're dwelling in sealed houses, and the house of the Lord's lying desolate. You're not putting any attention on the Lord. That's why you sowed much, but you got little return on it. Now, you consider your ways, and you change, is the bottom line. You change. You start putting your attention on God, and watch your crops start producing. Watch things change for you. all this, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it's the fact of getting our attention on God. And the way we do it in the New Testament is by putting our attention on the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by following the Word and the Spirit of God. Then we walk in the blessing of God. It's a choice.
Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them.
Here again, you're going to do the work, but somebody else is going to benefit from what you do.
Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit.
In other words, the olives are going to drop off before they get ripe, so it's not going to be beneficial to you.
Thou shalt begat sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
We mentioned this earlier. They'll be captured. Your children will be captured.
All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume.
You know, I go back to your sons and your daughters. You look at how this nation lost its sons and daughters. It's lost it to drugs, to alcohol, to perversity. All these things, they're so confused, they don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they are. You understand? And if you can't look at your anatomy and tell what you are confused. You have a serious problem. Now, you just sealed your destiny, and that's what's been going on. In this nation, it's been a planned strategy through college and through public education to turn our children away from God, because they knew if they turn the children away from God, then it's going to be to the detriment of the entire nation. It'll be to the detriment of the children. And now you have people out here with 4-year degree, 6-year degree, 8-year degree. They're intellectual, but they're stupid. They have no common sense. And they don't believe in God, and God has a word for you in the Psalms. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You understand? So I don't care how much education you got. God's already got you labeled if you don't believe in God. And so it's demonic. The education system they've brought in, it's brought in through demonic influence. There was a time the church educated. And the church is going to have to get back to educating people the truth of the Word of God. You understand? And see if we can save a generation. See if we can get people convinced, because, you know, my kids don't think like I think. And then their kids don't think like they think. Every generation, it's going downhill. You understand? I was telling Heather today, people think because, you know, the kid thinks because he knows how to use a computer, he's smarter than his mom and daddy. No. You've just been exposed to something your mom and daddy have, but I guarantee you when it comes to common sense, they'll walk around you. Because you can become an intellectual conehead good for nothing. Oh, well. Go ahead.
So all the trees and the fruit of thy land shall locusts consume. That's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Locusts consume your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Foreigners live among you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're highly exalted. Isn't that amazing? And the Israelites humble. Look mm-hmm. at this nation. Look at what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
They want to exalt the foreign criminals
mm-hmm.
and put down the people that are walking in truth or whatever. And so you're the bad guy. If you stand up for what's right, you're the bad guy. I never dreamed there would be such an attack on law enforcement. Now, you know, if a policeman stops somebody, everybody's videoing it, trying to find something he did wrong. They want to take it this. Well, he did this, he did that. And you know, they want to protect the criminal and convict the police officer. And if you read Romans 13 chapter, God set those civil authorities in place. And he said, they don't wear the sword in vain. But they're not a threat to the righteous. You understand? I mean, I can walk by a police officer, I'm not a threat. But if I got my pocket full of drugs and I'm getting ready to rob, I've done all this, then I'm going to be real nervous. You follow me? No. We need to understand that what we're seeing is not a blessing. It's a curse. And the people who are promoting this are anti-Christ. You with me? And we're going to have to stand up for Christ. Because the blessing is in Him. So they're trying to take us out of the blessing.
Verse 44.
Go ahead.
Okay. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail.
Now look at that. Mm. Instead of you lending to the foreigners, you borrow from the foreigners. We are in debt head over heels in this nation to the foreigners. We used to lend to them. Now we can't even pay our debt. Why? Because it turned away from God. See, there's a principle here. No, we're not under law by the Spirit. The born-again believer who walks in the Spirit is in grace. But when you're not walking in the Spirit and following the counsel of God and obeying the Word of God, then you're in the flesh, and in the flesh you're under the law. I'll guarantee you the law in this city will govern your flesh. But it can't affect my thinking. It affects my actions. Now, the interesting thing about this, when Jesus, you look at what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dealt with the thinking. You know, you've heard it said, you know, you shall not murder. He said, if you hate your brother, you murdered. You read it, it's in your Bible. What's he dealing with? The thinking. Keep your thinking right. You have the mind of Christ. Let the mind of Christ operate in you. Quit thinking like the world. Think like God. You have the ability to think like God. But you can't think like God looking at the world. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God in order to think like God.
Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
Notice these curses would be for a sign and a wonder to them. How when they served God, they were full of joy, cheerful, things were going well for them. They turn away from God, it's a testimony against you. The way things are going is a testimony against you. The way things are going in this nation is a testimony against the nation for turning away from God. And we're going to have to start saying it like it is instead of tiptoeing around everything. My daddy used to say, beating around the bush. No, let's go straight into the thing. And let's get our attention back on God. Now, I can save the nation, but it starts with me. I have to get my attention on God. And then I concern myself with me. You understand? I don't try to clean up everybody else's life. I have a full-time job cleaning up mine. Mama told me that early on. And it hadn't changed. But what happens if the church gets it right? It'll influence the nation to do right. You follow me? We're more powerful than we think. But our power is not through physical force. Our power is through spiritual force. Walking in the Spirit.
I didn't read verses 46 and 47, but we talked about them. But I'd like to take a look at verse 47 again. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So what I see in this is, am I serving the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart? Or am I doing it out of duty and obligation?
Yeah, going through the motions.
The Lord knows our heart, doesn't He?
God looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. People think, well, if I do this, if I do that, but what's the motive behind what you're doing? You can do the right thing with the wrong motive. It doesn't impress God. You understand? We have to get our motive right. And what we do should be the fruit of righteousness, not trying to get favor with God or whomever. And then we have to ask ourselves, am I trying to please people or am I trying to please God? And it's amazing how churches today incorporate all these feeding programs, all these various things to get the favor of people rather than get the favor of God. I'm not against feeding people. I'm against people robbing the church. I'm against exploitation. I'm against people not using good sound judgment and managing God's money properly. You follow me? But when you take and put your emphasis on that, and you don't put your emphasis on preaching the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, then the people are not going to know, so they think that they can do works to compensate. And there is no compensation for obedience. We must learn to obey God and walk in the Spirit. And my time's up. Right?
Okay.
So we'll stop there. You know where we stop?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll pick back up with wherever we stopped. How's
okay.
It?
Verse 48.
I see so many parallels in this. Guard your territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us, you keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week.